Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
fellowshipping in the name of the Lord. You know, God
is a good God, and God makes all things great for our good. This is for our good, that God might be magnified and glorified, and that his work shall be ministered throughout the earth. So on that great getting up morning, we call a historical moment in time when God will come in all his glory and all his beauty, and that is the rapture. And God, each and every one of us, will have to stand before God and give an account of the deed that has been done in this old body. And you know, on that old getting up morning, in that old judgment day, when we will stand before the white throne of God, there will be no room for excuses. You know, God, Brother Jones didn't come by and pick me up like he said. God, Sister White didn't come by and pick me up. She said she was going to come by, but she didn't come by and get me, and I didn't have money for a taxi to go to church. Didn't nobody tell me about the Lord? On that day, there will be no excuses. So we know that now is the designated time of salvation. And that is not my theme, but I just thought I would just give you a hands up. Because on that great day, there will be no excuses. So we just thank God for allowing us, hallelujah, to just congregate, hallelujah, in the beauty of holiness. So I want you to just bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us, God, together in unity, God, once again around the spectrum. Father God, you said when you went away that you're going to prepare a place for us. And upon your return, God, you will receive us unto yourself. But until that time and moment is upon us, God, we will continue moving upward and onward in your will and in your way. We will continue mounting up from the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims traveling through this barren land. I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you, God, the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every individual that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your glory. We won't take your praise. But we'll give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the temple of God and his people say amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, so I want you just to get comfortable. I have the chat room up available for your listening and your sitting pleasure. Hallelujah. So just make yourself right at home. Bring all your digital devices, may it be your laptop, smartphones, whatever digital device, hallelujah, that you have at your disposal. We want you just to come aboard, bring your chip, your dip, whatever you want to sip, your latte, your OJ, your water beverages, hallelujah, and allow me to minister to the word of God as God give it unto me. So right now, without any further ado, we're going to take you. This is not a program, but this is a digital mastered and formatted virtual church and worship experience. And your program, once again, is the Old Ship of Zion podcast. Host and moderator is overseer-elect Janice Ward. So right now, we're going to take you on in to our church service. All right, so now sermon on this morning, or theme, entitled, Hands Off. I want to say that one more time. I said, our sermon, entitled, Hands Off, Phase 2. And so we're going to read from our first key scripture, coming out of the law of Psalms 46 and 10, and it reads like this. Be still and know that I am God. That scripture reading once again, coming out of the law of Psalms 46 and 10. Hallelujah. You know, in the law of Psalms or the gospel of Psalms, I find it interesting that God says, be still and know that I am God. We know that the Hebrew word for still means to cease striving, or literally to put our hands at our side. And you know, at first glance, this seems to be a rather risky piece of advice. But since our first instinct in troubles is to keep our hands on the situation and control it to our advantage. But God, in essence, is saying, hands off, let me deal with your problems. And you know that you can rest assured that the outcome is in his hands. But knowing when to take our hands off and let God work can make us feel vulnerable. Unless you and I and us is that we believe that God is indeed our refuge and our strength. That God is a very present help in a time of trouble. And that the Lord of hosts is with you and I and us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So in the midst of trouble, you and I and us, we can rest in God's care. Hallelujah. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about taking your hands off your situation and putting your situation in the hand of the man of Galilee, in the hand of the man that told the storm to cease and be still, and the storm obeyed. Hallelujah. The man that told Lazarus to rise up out of his grave, out of his grave clothes. Hallelujah. The man that said, hallelujah, let there be light. And so it was. Upon the earth was total darkness. Then God says, let there be light. And so it was. So put your problems in the hand of the man that can solve them all. It's no job too large or too small, because my God can handle them all. So you just keep your hands off and let God handle your problems, because he is the problem solver. He is the go-to man. He is the biggest, baddest thing walking on a cloud. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Jesus of Nazareth. That's who I'm talking about on this morning. I'm not talking about Mr. Jones. I'm not talking about Mrs. Jones. But I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He's our Lord and Savior, and he's our soon coming Messiah, as I have already forestated. Hallelujah. So we know that we can let God handle our itinerary of worries. Leave the worries to God. God do not want you and I and us to worry about anything, but he says to pray about everything. So in the midst of your tsunami, in the midst of your calamity, in the midst of your storm, I'm encouraging you on this morning to give it all in his hand. Put it all in his hand. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry when you give your worries to Jesus. When you give your worries to the man that can bring peace and prosperity, hallelujah, into a life that's unsettled. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to pay that bill. You don't know how you're going to pay your rent and all your money spent. I'm going to hear to encourage you that God can pay your bills. God can pay your rent. God can put money in the bank account. Hallelujah. God can do everything, but it's one exception of failing. There is no failing in God. We fall, and we fall short of the glory and honor of God. But we know that there is no failing in God. God, hallelujah, is our present help in a time of a storm. And you can ask God, me God, to trust in your wise and timely intervention. in minds and yours and our lives, and to keep our hands out of your way. So just know this. When we put our problem in God's hand, he put his peace in minds and yours and our heart. God, give us his peace. God wants you to rest assured that he can handle whatever calamity that you are experiencing this morning. You might say, "Overseer Ward, but you just don't know. You know, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. I don't know how I'm going to put food on the table. I'm just a one parent. I'm a divorcee. Hallelujah. I'm just the only one that's, you know, working and making ends meet. And I just don't know how I'm going to do it." But God tell us, he said, "Don't you worry. Don't you fret. Because God will never, have never, shall never fail you and I yet. So just know that God will take care whatever it is that you need him to take care of. God will do what's impossible with you and I. What's impossible. We couldn't pull it off if we tried. But if we just trust in God, because while we are trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name." And so like I was saying, hallelujah, but God, just knowing that, you know, God will see us through whatever we are encountering in our lives, in our natural lives, in our personal lives, and as well as our spiritual lives, knowing when to take our hands off and let God work. Excuse me. I might be talking too loud. Look like my throat is getting rather dry, so excuse me for coughing. Maybe my allergies, I don't know. But anywho, we're going to move right along. And like I first stated, is knowing when to take our hands off and let God work. Excuse me again. Hallelujah. You know that sometime, you know, when we are trying to let God do what God knows best in our lives, it can make you and I feel vulnerable. And that is unless we believe that God is indeed our refuge and our strength. So we have to believe that God will take care of us. And God has not brought you thus far to leave you. God said in his word, if that was his covenant with you and I and us, he said, "I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you." Hallelujah. "But I will be with you to the end of the earth." Excuse me again. Now, I wasn't coughing until now, so we know that's just something that, you know, is just coming along here. But we're not going to let anything get in our way. You know, we're going to keep on moving on in Jesus' name. We got to keep it moving. We can't let nothing get in our way. Cold, cough, you know, we got to keep on at it. You know, and I'm being respectable, and I'm saying excuse me for the coughing because I have no control over that. It's just a dry cough. And like I said, maybe I'm talking a little loud, but I want to talk clearly and plainly where you can hear me. So like I said, our theme on this morning is hands off, and that means that we are to let God work in our lives and to trust God and to believe God to intervene in our lives on our behalf. God will take care of you and I and us only if we allow him so to do so. God will take care of you and I and us. So all we have to do is get out the way and let God handle, hallelujah, our itinerary. God will do what no other Holy Ghost power can do. Hallelujah. We know that God is a good God. Hallelujah. God is a good God. You hear me? I tell you, there's no one like him. God is awesome. And when we're down to nothing, I want you to know that God is up to something. And those of you out there, I've had a caller that called in. You can call in. We have our prayer request line that will open up after the conclusion of this program. So after I have finished this program and I have give you a cue to call in, you're welcome at that time, sweetheart, to call in. I will be graciously and, I mean, just honorably to pray in faith with you that God will bring your prayer petition to its fruition. Okay? So just call in at this time. I will prompt you when to call in and the prayer request line is open. But until then, we will continue on in the worship and praise virtual church experience. All right, so we're talking about hands off phase two, letting God intervene in yours and mine and our lives. We know we cannot handle everything. It's some things that come up in our lives that it's just too huge, it's just too humongous for you and I to handle. And so we have to give it over to God, knowing and trusting God, because God says it's impossible. Do you hear me, saints of God and friends and colleagues and you that are out there listening on this morning? Sweetheart, it is impossible to please God. My sister and my brother, it is impossible, hypothetically impossible, to please God without faith. So we must believe that God will do what he says. I mean, without hesitation, just know that, hey, I've turned it over to the Lord, and he's going to work it out. And you will come back with a testimonial, hallelujah, for all ears to hear what God has done in your life. We know that King David's story is our story. The time comes when we are uneasy about our blessings. We ask whether we have given enough to ourselves to God. Our immediate urge is to relieve the uneasiness, is to establish tribute to God. Beautiful sanctuaries, expansive churches, campuses, creative, liturgies and numerous church programs are call for greater sacrifices are just some of our effort to please and appease God. But whether you and I and us are motivated by devotion or fear, we know that such tribute failed to satisfy God. Neither rituals nor houses of rituals are desired by our God. God's heart is given to and for the welfare of God's people. We read in the law of 1 Chronicles 17 and 4 through 14. We read God's testimonial in which he, hallelujah, recounts a history of a caring presence with the people of Israel. Certainly he has devoted himself to their plight. In this passage, we also find a statement of God's radical freedom. Even when the prophet Nathan believe that David's relationship with God is licensed to glorify God with a construction project, God is not obligated to be grateful. Sincere expressions of devotion do not change God's agenda, and elaborate temples of worship do not constrain God to stay where we can meet God on our terms. God created the world and all that is in it. God is at home in the world. God goes from tent to tent and from tabernacle to another. The work to which God calls us is with the people whom God seeks to build up. So God's priorities must become our priorities. When this happens, our labor serves holy purposes that glorify God and sustain God's people. Hallelujah. So what we are to do is to praise God in everything, even in our calamities. You might say, Lord, you mean we are to praise God in the midst of our storm, in the midst of calamity, in the midst of our tsunami? Yes, ma'am. Praise God in spite of what you're going through. Because there's one old song that says, trouble don't last always. There's a biblical scripture that says that weeping might endure for a night, but my joy, your joy, our joy cometh in the morning. In the morning could be any time. It don't mean morning as a.m., but it mean any time. Your joy can return back unto you. Hallelujah, because God, when God does something, he don't have to do it. He don't have to do anything. But when God do it, you can rest for sure that it will be done according to God's will and to God's way and his glory and his honor. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We just thank God. We just thank God because he is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. We thank God for everything great and small. I mean, there is not one thing, not even a penny. We know a penny is just a mite. A penny is just 1 cent. It's not a dollar. It's not $5. It's not $10. But it's just 1 cent. But if you walk up on 1 cent, you stoop down and pick that penny up. Because one day you will need that penny. You will have something. Will have maybe a dollar and 1 cent, 10.01, 101, 201. That penny will come, hallelujah, to be of an help one day. You thank God in small things as well as big things. And when you thank God for the small things, then God will bless you in the bigger things. Hallelujah. So we know that in our 21st century that we're living in, there's an international research company that stated that there were 245 million surveillance cameras installed worldwide. And they said that the numbers were growing by 15% every year. In addition, multiplied millions of people with smartphones captured daily images ranging from birthday parties to bank robberies. Whether we applaud the increased security or denounce the diminishing privacy, we live in a global cameras everywhere society. The New Testament book of Hebrews says that in our relationship with God, we experience a far greater level of exposure and accountability than anything. Surveillance cameras may see this word, his word, like a sharp two-edged sword, penetrate to the deepest level of our being, where it judges the thoughts and attitude of our heart. But nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes. Of him we must give account, because Jesus, our Savior, experienced our weaknesses, our temptations, but he did not sin. You and I and us, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We don't need to fear him, but can be assured we'll find grace when we come to him. Hallelujah. We know that nothing is hidden from God's sight. Nothing is greater than God's love. Nothing is stronger than God's mercy and grace. Nothing is too hard for God's power. So we know that we can come to God. When you can't go to mother, you can go to God. When you can't go to your father, you can go to God. When you can't go to the siblings, you can go to God. When you can't go to your sons and daughters, you can go to God. When you can't go to your grandparents, you can go to God. When you can't go to your niece and your nephew, you can go to God. When you can't go to your business colleague, you can go to God. When you can't go to your boss man, you can go to God. When you can't go to your chiropractor, you can go to God. You can go to God for every single, hallelujah, iota thing that you encounter in this life and in the life to come. God wants you to come to him. God said that he's a jealous God. And God do not want us to put no whole lot of confidence in nothing but him. God want us to trust him wholeheartedly, entirely, all in all. Place it all at the altar. Not part of it, not some of it, not three-thirds of it, not half of it, not a quarter of it, but all of it. Lay our burdens entirely at the foot of God. Hallelujah. You will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. God does all things well. It may not feel so good all the time, but just know that our thinking is not combined with God's thinking. See, the way God think and the way me and you think is on, oh, Lord, two different stages. I mean, your mind would explore trying to figure out God. So we don't try to figure out God. We just go along with his word. We just take him at his word. We believe his word. We live his word. And we can read God's word back to him. Not like God is getting amnesia. He don't get dementia. But we just reading God's word back to him. Is the Lord, this is what your word says, thus and thus, says the Lord. And God knows his word. Because God's word is already in God's memory. God didn't even have to have a book. God just spoke it. And he had men's, hallelujah, of the gospel, to write out his word in biblical sense so we could understand it. Give us a concordance that we could go back and we could look and we could ask God for discernment. Ask God to open our eyes and our ears of understanding his word. Hallelujah, Jesus. We know Psalms 126:3 says, hallelujah, that isn't even better reminder of God's tender mercy. With the ultimate mean for you and I and us is that the Lord has done great things for you and I and us. We are filled with joy. What a great verse to take to heart as we remember Jesus' compassion for you and I and us, even at the cross. The difficulties of any given day cannot change the truth that comes what may. Our Lord has already shown you and I and us unfathomable kindness. His love endures forever. As in the law of Psalms 136:1. When you and I and us, we have lived through a difficult circumstance and discovered that God was faithful, keeping in mind, helped you and I greatly. The next time life waters turn rough, we may not know how God will get us through our circumstances, but his kindness to us in the past help us trust that he will. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless his holy name. Oh, Lord, our tender mercy, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. Hallelujah. You know, when our mother and our father forsake us, Jesus said he'll pick us up spiritually and he will carry you and I and us. He will carry us. You know, you have relatives that tell you, don't darken my door no more. Don't come to my house no more. Don't call my phone anymore. But see, God never turns a deaf ear to his children. God never turns us away and said, get lost. Get away from me. God never put us on three-way. God never put us on hold. God has always got his line of communication open for you and I and us and the whole universe. So God can answer mine and yours and our problem and the whole universal at the same time. On the same timeline. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We change. God do not change. We change our attitude. We change our clothes. We change our hair color. We change our style. We change our writing technique. We change our walk, our talk, identity. But God do not change. God is the same as he was over 2,000 light years ago. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we know that matters what tornado you might encounter. You might not know why a tornado hit one town and skip over another. Why prayers for physical healing go unanswered. One question, however, is no longer nags at us as it once did. Does God care? I'm here to encourage your heart on this morning, to let you know, my brother and my sister, oh yes, God does care for you and I and us. I know of only one way to answer that question, and that answer is Jesus, in Jesus. God gave us a face. If you wonder how God feel about the suffering on this groaning planet, look at that face. Does God care? His son dealt on our behalf, which will ultimately destroy all pain and sorrow and suffering and death for eternity, answers that question. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our heart to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive too. Hallelujah. God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Hallelujah. Blog Talk Radio. Old Ship of Zion. P.O. Box 1600. Gilroy, California, 95020. Hallelujah. So, in ending, I want you to go in God and allow God to go in you. I'm encouraging you to buckle up with Jesus at your wheel. May it be your driving wheel or your 2 feet. I want you to allow Jesus to take over. Let him in the driver's seat. He is an experienced driver. Never had an accident. Never had a collision. Never had a wreck. And he never shall. I am now opening the prayer request line. Anyone out there in my listening audience that have a prayer petition that you would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree and to go down in prayer with you, now is the time to call in. And that designated time is now, and the number in which to call is 646-200-3074. That number again is 646-200-3074. Now the prayer and request line is open for those of you that desire a prayer. You are welcome to call in. At this time, I'm going to give them a few more minutes to see if anyone calls in. I had some callers earlier, but I was already online, you know, was already in the midst of my service, and so I could not break and go to the phone. So now, if you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree upon the prayer petition that you laid out at the feet of God, this is a holy ministry, I mean, I believe in holiness, living holiness, preaching holiness, and godliness, and sanctification. So if you're wondering about prayer, you need to wonder any longer, because this ministry honors God, and God blesses this ministry in return by answering the prayers that has already went before the throne of God. So you can call in and place, hallelujah, your request. Let your request be known according to the word of God. We're going to give you a few more minutes. Then we're going to take you on into the second phase of our program, and that is the Hymns of Zion. And we do that to just encourage your heart and just enhance your spirit. So we want you to just be happy and be joyful. In spite of what you're going through, there is a breakthrough for you. There's a miracle with your name on it. Hallelujah. So now, hallelujah, without any further ado, we're going to take you, hallelujah, on into the second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Excuse me just a minute. We're having some audio difficulties. Excuse me momentarily.
makes me very happy tonight that my family is here singing and praying with me. And at this time, I would like to introduce to you my brother, Reverend Cecil Franklin.
It is my task to have a few comments. And I thought about a passage of scripture. The Gospel according to St. Mark, 16th chapter and the 15th verse, where we are challenged to go ye into all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature. You know, there is a unique advantage in preaching the gospel using the vehicle of song. For songs have the advantage of being packaged and wrapped in universal appeal. Songs are not limited by natural or human boundaries. The gospel through song is universally comfortable, for it is not hindered by local, state, or national boundaries, not hindered by racial, economic, political, or religious preferences. Songs are clothed with the ability or capacity to successfully and confidently meet the challenge of the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature. Songs are in a position to confidently answer that challenge. And therefore, the gospel through song accepts the challenge and responds joyfully, praising the name of Jesus. And therefore, we sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. We come tonight carrying on that same tradition. We come not blazing new trails or pioneering new paths. We come treading the same familiar tracks, telling the world that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We come telling the story of Calvary. We come telling the world how God hung, how he bled, and how he died, and how he was resurrected. We come telling the world of the joy of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we come once again to dedicate our lives to continuing to sing the song of God. We thank God for Aretha and for every individual that responded in making this effort possible. Her Christian commitment to carry the gospel to every creature is unquestionable. And you know, we all had our favorite songs of praise and celebration. I don't know what yours may be. It may be, I love the Lord, he heard my cry and pitied my every groan. Long as I live while trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. Your song might be, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me. Oh, where shall I go? It may be peace with heaven. As I go through this wilderness, here's the Lord.
back here now, if you will. Sister Irma Franklin. Irma, won't you come forward? Sister Carolyn Franklin. Come up here, Carolyn. The real baby sister, Brenda. Come here, Brenda. And our sister beloved, the one who wears the coat of many colors, Sister Aretha Franklin.
Me.
as we grew up in our tradition, and it was dark, the Lord was our light and our salvation. The Lord was the strength of our lives. We thank God for Jesus. We even thank God for evil. He helped us to appreciate just how good was. We learned to say we are grateful in the earliest of our existence, even to right now. We are grateful. We learned our lessons in the wilderness. We are grateful. We can look back on slavery and we can close our eyes and wonder how they got over. We are grateful. We've been down in the grave, but he conquered the grave, and we are grateful. We've been crucified, but the stone has been rolled away, and it's Easter morning, and we are grateful for all this talent that God has given us and a chance to glorify his name. We are grateful. We serve a God tonight that's so great and so big and so wonderful. And once you know God, everything is little. No mountain is too high, no valley too low, no water too wet, no winter too cold. We serve a mighty God. So our heads are high, our chests are out, and joy bells are ringing our souls. And we're glad about it. One of the great joys in our lives, Sister Mavis Staples. Let's hear it, Sister Mavis Staples.
Bye.
call at this time, Reverend Jackson.
Let's give a reason and family another great round of applause. Let's hear it. We've introduced Reverend Brother Cecil Franklin and Irma and Carolyn and Brenda, but in a real sense, the mother of us all, the mother of Pastor C.L. Franklin, Mama Rachel Franklin. Give her a big hand. Give her a real big hand. Give her a big hand. Show the way. She helped us. She ran us through. Mama Franklin. Let's hear for Mama Franklin. A big round of applause. Several observations now during this period. This is not a program. This is a worship service. It's for us the most sincere moments we could ever spend. We reach out to our God. We reach out in ways that say thank you for delivering us. Thank you. Bringing us from a mighty long way. We reach out saying thank you for sustaining us even now. We thank you for this marvelous talent that you have endowed us with. When we reflect on this great church and think about new life, new hope, new Bethel, the Reverend Franklin used the powerful gifts that he had to preach a gospel that was a seven-day gospel. Beyond preaching about the moral imperatives of personal salvation on Sunday, he talked about social and political emancipation on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And that is why Reverend C.L. Franklin helped to lead the march for civil rights with Dr. King on Detroit. He had a voice of concern and compassion beyond the walls of our regular church services. But from this church, a voter registration drive were conducted. From this church, Reverend Franklin challenged us to be a whole people and to be a well people, to be a free people and to be a responsible people. Tonight, as we listen to these songs of Zion and songs of joy, let us reflect on what God has done for us and to us and through us. And be sincere as we worship him in fullness. For we feel real good tonight. But in all of our ways, we are taught to acknowledge God in all of our ways. When we think about slavery, not to speak about the railway on the ground, well, the church was our railway station. It's where we landed. The church is the Lord's house. The church is our power station. In a time like this, we need a power that goes beyond just political and economic power. As that is, something still is vital and missing. I visit about four schools every week of my life. I speak to 3,000 to 5,000 of our children every day. And I ask them, number one, if you know someone in your age group who is dead because of drugs, stand. About 25% of them stand. If you know someone in your age group who is in jail because of drugs, stand. More than half of them stand. And sometimes ask Reverend, what about the teachers? I ask them if you know someone in your age group, in your school, drugs.